Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. So today I'm coming to you from the back of a taxi. It is just after 8 o'clock in the morning.
Kwa bit siang dai mai kap? Ani bit mai? Bit mai ya?
I'm in the back of a Grab taxi. I like Grab taxi. I always use them. I always say this. You know, where I live, it's basically I live in a village and the street goes straight through the village. And unless you live off to the side of the street, that street, which is just the name of the village, and your house number is the only address you need to give. And for some reason, they always have a problem with it. It doesn't matter whether my wife tells them or anybody else tells them. If you give them my address, they always have a problem getting to it. They always got to call up, oh, where's that? You just go straight down the street, you'll find me. I always tell them, oh, you know, here's the number and here's the house number and I'll be out in front. And, you know, they always manage to get to it, but it's, you know, the whole purpose of the Grab taxi is to be able to put in your address, boom. Everything is set. You don't have to do really anything. It's not a major inconvenience, or I wouldn't use them. When you want to go somewhere, if you can't find that particular address, you got to put the nearest address, and then just tell. It's not a perfect application, but it does work really well for me, and I love using them because, you know, you always got a record of it, who's driving, you always got a record of how much you paid, you always got records of how much you spend and how much approximately it's going to cost to go there. So if you don't know where you're going, you just have an address, it's really good. Another kind of negative is that it's better if you enter the address in Thai, because a lot of the Thai drivers, they don't read the they can't read the English address. Anyway, so I got a couple topics for today. First of all, you know, as everybody knows by now, I'm done with my surgery. I'm walking around pretty freely, and you know, I feel better. I'm still grouchy as hell, just because my hip is sore. And you know, the idea is to keep walking so that you keep the blood flowing through your legs. I'm on blood thinner for a couple more weeks, and on antibiotics for a couple more weeks, and I get the staples out in, let me think here, I guess tomorrow I get the staples out, which, you know, I'm looking forward to. And yeah, you know, so it's a good thing, but then again, you know, I'm still really sore, and I'm walking around. A lot of people are amazed, you know, how much I'm walking, but to tell you the truth, at this point, I'm not, because I was up on the, once they gave me the walker, it was all about, you know, I'm going to do this, and, you know, how much does it hurt, and can I handle the pain? And basically the day after the surgery, I was able to get up on the walker and very lightly put pressure on my leg, on my foot. And I think they call it partial weight bearing. So now I'm full weight bearing. I have to be careful because I don't want to do too much, and I have to hold myself back because I have a habit of, you know, overtraining, overdoing things. So right now I'm on my way down to Chinatown. I'm gonna take photos because, for one thing, I have not been taking a lot of photos in the past year, and let me get myself situated here, and I miss it. And you know, something can be said that maybe, you know, I made it as a boxing photographer, a little bit as a travel photographer, but I want to make it basically just as a photographer with several niches, and sports is not one of them. I just don't really, I don't know what it is, but something really turned me off about boxing. Probably I'll watch the Mayweather Pacquiao fight, and that's it. I the last fight I watched was Marquez and Pacquiao, because I wanted to see how Marquez does, because I've said this before, but I spent a week with him, Juan Manuel Marquez, in case you don't know who he is. He's a multiple-time champion. He's from Mexico. He's an excellent fighter, very technically sound. And just his skill level alone gives people trouble. And I watched him since he used to fight now it's the Great Western Forum. I think they used to call it the L.A. Forum. But I watched him when he was just some Mexican guy that they threw in with whoever it was that was fighting. And he was a tough son of a gun, and I didn't know that I would end up meeting him in Borneo, of all places. And it was a pleasure to be around him and his team. And I didn't get to know him as well as maybe I got to know Chris John, which wasn't real well. But I mean, I spent enough time around him that if they see me, they know me and everything. Anyway, long story short, I wanted to see how he did against Pacquiao, because he had fought Pacquiao before, and he ended up knocking him out. And I could see that coming, because he was loading. He was loading up on the right hand. He was looking to land that big right hand, and when he landed it, Pacquiao was out, and he was out for like 10 or 15 minutes. His wife was, ringside crying, and it was a pretty emotional time for Pacquiao. And it didn't really surprise me, because I knew how determined Marquez was, and I knew that he really wanted to get Pacquiao, and I don't think he's ever going to top that knockout with any other win. I think it's going to be very difficult for him. But anyway, that's probably the last fight that I'm going to watch. I just have not been wanting to watch boxing and to be anywhere around boxing. And I could go to all kinds of boxing events here in Thailand and around Asia, and I could probably get back in really easily and photograph the events, but I just don't want to. I don't know why. And I take greater pleasure from walking around on the streets and doing street photography, doing travel photography. And, I've been really wanting to go to the Congo, and I've come to the conclusion that the amount of money I'm trying to raise on GoFundMe is too much. It's $28,000, and while I'm sure there are people that would love to help me, the bottom line is it's not the most important thing in people's lives. And while I have some money that I'll be contributing to that, and above that, it's a lot of money, and for me to raise that much, while I think I'm doing okay for like with my YouTube channel and with my website and everything else, I'm doing okay. I could be doing better, but for sure, I mean, if I went out and started pranking Thai people and doing stupid stuff, I could probably get more viewers. But that's not me. I just don't want to be that way. And honestly, while I'm going to still answer questions about women and from idiots, and I'm going to still do it once in a while, just because it gives me pleasure to answer some of the idiots and to let out the rage within. But I want to do what I want to do, as I've said. And one thing that I really want to do is I want to go to some places that most people will never go. And Thailand is not one of those places. Thailand is a place everybody goes. And while I consider myself to know a fair amount about Thailand. There are people out there who know more than me, for sure. There are people there who speak better Thai than I do, for sure. But I consider myself to be to have fair knowledge about the country and about the people, and I've been involved in many different situations with many different types of people, And I think that gives me an advantage. And also, I've been all over Southeast Asia. I've been to Cambodia so many times over the years. I mean, really, when I say so many, I'm talking about 50 or 60 times. It's just, I know what to expect. I don't get that butterfly feeling that sometimes you get when you go into the airport and you go, wow, I'm here. Okay, I got that when I went to Guyana. I landed in Georgetown and I was like, holy shit, you know, wow, what am I, you know, what is this place? And the thing is that in a way I was lucky because I had people taking care of me, but also because I landed at night and they were there waiting for me. Well, the guy was there waiting for me. You know, I basically just came straight from the airport to the hotel and that was it. I was there and I was like, wow, I'm here. And then the morning, I got to look around. But I really want to do that, and I want to bring that to people. I'm not a National Geographic photographer. I'm not a world-renowned photographer by any means. But I think that I have a good eye, and I have a way with people. Aside from the way that I act sometimes on YouTube, believe it or not, I get along with people, and I know how to talk to people when I'm going out to take photos. And I think going to a place like the Congo is a test for me. It's a test to see if I can put my skill level to use and do exactly what I want to do, which is I want to go there for like a month or even 2 months. And I really want to capture the spirit of the Congo and of the Democratic, of the Central African Republic, because what you see in the news generally, let's face it, what you see most of the time is negative. And you know, one of my members to my site. I just saw his message. I didn't see it for a while, and I just noticed it. But he had said that, you know, he tries not to watch too much of the news, and the reason is because it's all negative. Everything you watch in the news is, you know, it's about death and destruction and bad things happening, and it's very easy to get caught up in that. And I'm not out to save the world, and I don't necessarily want to go somewhere and get shot. And you know, listen, my thing is not that I get shot and killed. I don't particularly want that. But my thing is more like, what happens if I get shot and I'm paralyzed for the rest of my life? Or I have to have a colostomy bag or something like that. That's the kind of thing that I don't really want to have to deal with. So I'm very careful about where I want to go. There was a guy on Facebook who asked me if I wanted to go to the Ukraine. And honestly, I didn't have the money to go, and the timing wasn't right, and my hip was really bad. It was probably at its worst, to where I could barely lift up my right leg. I mean, you know, that's pretty bad. When you can't, I mean, I couldn't even put on my own sock. I still can't put on my own sock, but I'm becoming more capable, slowly but surely. The leg is coming back. I got to be very careful. I don't want to move it the wrong way and pop something out or anything. But anyway, so, you know, I want to do things that are different. And I have a trip set for India. That trip, I just have to send some papers to Bangkok Air, and they're going to allow me to reschedule the flight, even though their rules are that you can't reschedule the flight. They're going to allow me, because of the surgery, they're going to allow me to do so. And so I'm happy about that. However, you know, that's to India. And while India is a place where it can be dangerous and it's a mass of people, and I'm not sure if I really want to deal with it, just because I just don't really think I want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with people asking me for money every 5 seconds and looking at all the poverty. I don't want to walk through it. That's what it is. That's the difference, I think, between India and going to Mumbai, and the difference between going somewhere in like Africa or elsewhere. The difference is the hordes of people. Once you get out of some of the, you know, once you get out of the main city in the Congo, then you know, I mean, it's villages, and yeah, there's going to be people here and there, but for the most part, as I will have a fixer, because I don't feel like going there and going it alone, you know, it's much different than that. Now, I don't think I'm going to be able to afford it for quite some time. It may be another 6 months, even a year, but I don't want to let that go. I want to go. I want to get it done. I want to go there, and I just want to start making Africa a place that is, it's a place I photograph. And I just was introduced to a photographer on a YouTube channel that I visit quite often. It's a great channel. It's called The Art of Photography, and the guy's name is Nick Brand. He is a British guy who spends all of his time in Africa, pretty much, photographing wildlife, and he is a phenomenal photographer. I also like another woman. Her name is Beverly Jobert, and she is part of a team that photographs and films wildlife in Africa. And I don't see myself going as far as spending 6 months or a year photographing wildlife, at least not at this point in my life, for financial reasons and for other reasons. Maybe in the future, who knows, but I do want to go to Africa several times. And ever since I've been young, I've wanted to explore different countries and see different things. And where better to start than the Congo? That's what's going on. I've also got an urge now to go to Japan for some reason, and talk about a contradiction in countries. A place that's totally got their act together versus a place that is in, you know, constant turmoil. And, you know, I'm supposed to go to Ecuador. I don't think it's going to happen where I go in Ecuador next month, just because financially, you know, after this whole surgery and flying back up and forth up to Chiang Mai, it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Although I do have a lot more frequent flyer miles now, because my card is with Delta Airlines. I've got enough frequent flyer miles now to go back and forth to the U.S. It's been real close for a while. Now I'm over. I should be able to go to the United States. But anyway, and enough about all that kind of talk. You know, there are some places that I want to go. There's Japan. And, you know, I want to go all around Thailand. Go to like one city a month and start photographing it, so I can put together a book about Thailand. Because, you know, I've lived here for about 20 years now, and I feel an obligation to leave something to not only to Thailand and to Thai people, but to other people, that shows people Thailand from my own particular viewpoint. And hopefully I can put together something that's really good. Anyway, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about here in Thailand, and I want to try to keep to having positive energy, and actually I do think it's positive. The Tiger Temple in Kanchanaburi, or around Kanchanaburi, it looks like the place is going to be history. There was an announcement not long ago that there were 146 tigers in the place, and they're going to be removed. And this may have something to do with the three tigers that are missing. They can't be accounted for. And some people think that they were smuggled and used for body parts and that kind of thing. I don't know what the truth is. But I know that I never have liked the place. I've never went there. And I never had the urge to go there, because I think that, while I think that some zoos that have the correct amount of space and have decent people taking care of the animals are good. They're decent, because some of these animals, they're never going to be able to go out in the wild again, and that's the case with the tigers in the tiger temple. What are you going to do with them? So you might as well try to promote the animal so that maybe people won't kill them in the wild. And this is the thing. I mean, lions and tigers are just being decimated. And I hate that. I really do. Because I'm the kind of person, aside from a cockroach, which, you know, to me is a foul animal, I'm the kind of person that, you know, if there's a lizard, if my kids were trying to smash a lizard, I would yell at them and tell them to leave the thing alone. Because I just don't think it's right to do that, you know. Another thing is that there is interbreeding going on between the tigers, which it fouls the gene pool. And that's never a good thing, especially with tigers. You can't mate one tiger with another, and their mentality is, what are we supposed to do? We they're gonna do what they're gonna do. Well, that's not good enough. So I wanted to get into one other thing real quick, and that was the 90-day report. Everybody's always writing in, and they're all worried about the 90-day report, which I never can understand, because it's really simple. And if you're in Thailand, you don't have, I mean in Bangkok rather, you don't have to, you don't even have to go in. You can just mail the thing in. And now you can do it online, okay? Go to the immigration website. The link is on my website at anamericanandbangkok.com. You can always do it online. You can always do it on mail, but through the mail. Now, it's a little more difficult if you're out in a village somewhere away from an immigration department. However, if you live in Bangkok, as I do, it's really a piece of cake. And just remember that the 90-day report is only, it only has to do with, are you here more than 90 days? Forget about the visa. Don't even think about your visa, okay? If your visa is going to expire afterwards, hey, if you got 90 days in the country, whether you got a visa or not, you need to report. Okay, it's as simple as that. So, I've just about reached my destination. We are just about ready to land in Chinatown. I'm ready to take some photos, and then I'm going to go to my favorite dim sum restaurant. I think it's called the Mong Kong restaurant or something like that. One thing I wanted to ask, if you would be so kind, is members, if you're listening, please use the forum more often. Just to talk about what you're doing, if you're coming to Thailand, whatever. You got a new Thai girlfriend, I don't care. I promise not to slam you for having a new Thai girlfriend. Whatever it might be, use the forum. For those of who are not members and who are listening to this, you can sign up for membership. Just go to the tab that says members, and we'll figure out a way for you to pay for the membership. It's not a big deal, and I promise, if you need help, I'll give it to you. So, until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok di leo chok an mai.